Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the wackiest of seasons, the bye week before the Super Bowl. Luke Jones is going to join us here in this segment. Before I do that, just want to give a little appreciation to our friends at the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. I got my Window Nation gear going on here, 866-90-NATION. Take advantage, last days, buy two, get two free, 0% financing. It's very, very important. If you're doing it, get it now. For 60 months. It's like those people that got those mortgages at 2% a couple years ago. Take advantage of it. You'll thank me later. You'll thank me in the summer, in the winter when you're saving dough. Also, for the Maryland Crab Cake to our friends over at State Fair, who fed me heartily. I got to get back over to El Guapo. I got to get over to Beaumont, get myself a steak over there. But big appreciation for them and my guest, Ron Cassie, as well as Jeff Brandis, telling some old school Section 513 stories in the days of Vinny Testaverde. I'm sure you'll be hearing that next week here at WNST and AM 1570 as well. Luke and I are convening about all things Super and Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, haven't seen this one before. Some sort of weird layovers of Ron Jaworski and Andy Reid and sort of, oh, what a tangled web we weave with Jeremy Maclin and maybe some others, probably George Brett and Tug McGraw, really, when it comes down to this, if you're talking about me in 1980 and the Philly fanatic. Luke Jones joins us now to talk all things championship game. Dude, what a turd that NFC game was, though, right? Like, it wasn't that much fun. Joe Burrow, they lost. Everybody's happy about all that. These are the two best teams. So God bless the NFL. They at least got it right this year, despite all the officiating and stuff. These are the two best teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think San Francisco, it's going to be a long offseason just thinking, I mean, my goodness, you were down to Brock Purdy with a bum elbow. He was such a great story this year, but it was evident he couldn't throw. And Josh Johnson, who was a Raven for a minute a couple years ago, gets knocked out with a concussion. I mean, just imagine, and we talked about this so much. So anyone here in town with the Ravens specifically, I mean, Lamar didn't play after early December, but you're in that position. You're 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy has been this fantastic story, and you've already lost two quarterbacks. I mean, Trey Lance was lost at the beginning of the season. Jimmy Garoppolo with the foot. Purdy, such a great story. It's not as though they were just carrying him along for the ride. He was playing well. He was a big reason why they had the winning streak that they had. He gets hurt. And then your backup, who was really your fourth string at that point, gets hurt. And you're down to talking about Christian McCaffrey throwing passes or maybe Deebo Samuel throwing a pass. I mean, boy, that's tough. It's one thing to talk about the Ravens and, okay, they're bounced in the wild card round, but that happens to you in the championship game. That's rough. But you just said it at the end of the day, Philadelphia, even with some of the overreaction, I remember when they lost to Washington in that Monday night game, it was their first loss of the season, lots of overreaction at that point in time. Jalen Hurts gets hurt in December, lots of overreaction at that point. Philadelphia, from the beginning of the season until the end, they were, even though San Francisco maybe was playing better late in the season, but the entire body of work, they were the number one seed for a reason. They deserve to be. And as much as they're not going to apologize for San Francisco's quarterback issues, they're left standing, right? I mean, they're the team from the NFC that ultimately deserved to go. They're the number one seed. So, and on the opposite side, there was plenty of discussion. I mean, Buffalo for a large portion of the season. I mean, I know I talked about them a lot as far as thinking they were the best, but Cincinnati took it to them last week. We're thinking the Bengals, but, well, five straight AFC championship game appearances for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And, they lose Tyreek Hill. They trade him in the offseason. Are the Chiefs going to be the same? And all that talk. And, the same talk we have about any team that's done it and done it a few times in a row, at least in terms of being on that stage. Well, they're the last team standing in the AFC. And no one should be surprised about that because ultimately they have the best quarterback in football. Joe Burrow, special talent. I mean, go down the list. Josh Allen, special talent. Lamar Jackson, when healthy, special talent. Go through the list of all these different quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts was having an MVP season until he gets hurt late in the year. But they're all chasing Mahomes at this point. I mean, that's just the truth. You look at what he's done. You look at what the Chiefs have done. And that's where you look at this thing and you see the last two teams standing. You mentioned Andy Reid, you mentioned some of the other connections. How about the Kelce brothers? You know, I mean, the fact that you have Jason Kelce, who has been this Hall of Fame caliber center, longtime center for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football.
You know I love Jason Kelce, right? You know my Jason Kelce moment. Have I ever told you this one?
I don't know. Humor me. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I remember this moment
with Jason Kelce. This is right before he wore the Mummers outfit. So this is for anybody, because these are the kinds of stories I'd be, wielding next week.
Sure.
Out in Phoenix was the week of Minnesota, right? You were out there with me that week. I famously just looked through some old pictures of me falling ill with Dahani Jones that morning, and you and Matt Burke together. So they win the Super Bowl that night. My wife is in, and as you know, dude, I don't think I've ever seen you colder than when we were under that French fry heater out in front of the Mall of America waiting on a bus when it was 10 below and the wind was whipped up in Minnesota. So Bloomington. So
very
nonetheless,
cold.
Yes. You know, when you see Harmon Killebrew and Rod Carew, you don't really think of this. Or even Fran Tarkenton and Ahmad Rashad, you think about it a little bit, and the Purple People Eaters. But after the game, we got invited to the team party for a million reasons, right? Joe Douglas and Andy Waddell and Torrey Smith and Corey Graham and Timmy Jernigan and Jimmy Schwartz and Kathy Schwartz and so all of that. So it was Joe D that actually got me in, I think, as I remember it. But I might have snuck in the side door with Kathy Schwartz. So we go to the party. And this party, I had been to a couple of victory parties. I mean, I was at the Ravens party in 01. I was at the Patriots party in 04 in Houston. I was – Aerosmith performed at that one. That was a wild one. I was at I did not go to the Ravens party in New Orleans because we had things swirling and I wasn't invited and – I don't know. Apparently, Beyonce, that sort of thing happened. So I went to the Minnesota party. That was the Eagles party. And my flight was at 5:30 in the morning. We just did an old school Dundalk all nighter, like a kegger. And we're at this party and there was no VIP or this or that. It was just 3,500 Eagles fans in this warm airplane hangar that was it's kind of like a train station. It's gigantic. And they were giving free pretzels away. Nobody was climbing poles or greasing anything up. None of the things you saw on Sunday night in Philly, right? So I got to go to the bathroom. And the party was all tricked out. It had interesting cameras and pictures and selfies. And they were ready for a party, but they could have lost the game too, right? So I don't, it would have been a loser party had they lost, right? Philly special, the whole deal. I go to the bathroom. And it's all Eagles fans. Everybody's ish-faced. I mean, it's 2:45 a.m. in Minnesota. It's 5 degrees outside. All the windows are you could see all the water rolling because it's so hot in there. Bands playing, smoke, fog bombs, people smoking cigars. It's nuts. Jason Kelce walks into the bathroom and it's 10 deep to get the urinals. Dude's men's room, old school. It looked like an old train station, literally, right? It was an old building that was refurbed, but it wasn't modern. Guys are trying to hey, it's Philadelphia, I want to shoot my. Jason Kelce comes into the bathroom. Every dude in there, I swear to God, the only thing I could compare it to would be if you went into Arnold's to pee and the Fonz came in, you would just get out of the way. Everybody got out of the way and allowed Jason Kelce to use the urinal, and they applauded him. He got a standing ovation and a red carpet because he had played in the game, right? I mean, this is he had just played. So everybody got out of the way and let him use the bathroom. And I thought, that's Philadelphia. They don't talk so bad about your in-laws and all these other people you have in your life. Luke Jones, who loved the Philadelphia Eagles.
See, I thought you were going to say he used the sink because that would have been
No,
I know. I'm just kidding.
This was when Willy Wonka came out to the gate. You know what I mean? Everybody just got out of the way.
Right.
And it was it was a beautiful Philadelphia moment. And then 48 hours later, he's wearing the Mummer hat. And lo and behold, all these years later, you just said maybe Hall of Famer, right? Now we're getting into a different place. And I just want to say this about watching football Sunday and the disappointments and the highs and lows and how you feel if you're a 49er fan when you had everything but a quarterback, right? How important a quarterback is, and how hard this is to do, right? How
I
hard it
know.
is for Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh, who's only won two playoff games in the last 10 years, trying, every Buffalo Bills, every Andy Reid who tried to climb this hill for 20 years with Donovan McNabb, and like how hard this is to do, and how maybe easy Belichick and Brady have made it look.
Well, and that last point is really, that's where you hit the nail on the head. They made that look so easy. It's not easy. It really isn't. And every other team, and look, hey, they deserve it. And we can talk about shenanigans and Deflategate and Spygate and like that's, and that's part of it. But at the end of the day, you're talking about, maybe the greatest coach of all time and maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. Certainly that combination together for so long, greatest of all time. But it is really difficult to do it. So if you're any of these other teams that are chasing it, that's why what Kansas City has done, albeit we're only talking about one Super Bowl for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but five straight AFC championships. They've now been to three of the last four Super Bowls. That's impressive. It just doesn't look quite as impressive on the heels of 20 years of the Patriots doing what they did. So it's difficult. You mentioned the importance of a quarterback, no question. And just the fact of injuries. Look, no one wants to hear the excuse of injuries, right? And we talked about that so much last year for the Ravens. But you do get to a point where, as I say it all the time, you get to a point where you can only endure so much, and next man up becomes nothing more than a t-shirt slogan. I mean, literally, you get to the point where you lose so many, and that's where San Francisco was at quarterback. By the time Brock Purdy leaves the game and Josh Johnson is,
You're trying
doing
to
what.
beat the best team in your conference
Yeah, I
on the
mean.
road in the championship game with a four-string quarterback. It's just like, and the Purdy thing was like something out of a movie, right? It really
Sure.
was, right? And I think there's an underdog thing going on there. But in the end, you can't do it. Purdy was a number three, making it look like it's possible in that Kurt Warner, like a
Yeah.
Disney movie, right? Like literally like a Disney movie. It's not like a Disney movie most of the time with Tyrod Taylor and backup quarterbacks and Anthony Wright's. And I'm just trying to think of the guys we've had in the playoffs here over the course of time. And obviously this year where, Snoop Huntley's trying to be that guy to win three games or to win one quarter. Or two, in the case of the 49ers, one drive, just trying to get one drive together on the road in the rain and the cold. I don't know, it was a little demoralized. I really felt bad for the 49ers fans. I really, because I these franchises work so hard at this.
No doubt. And like I said, I mean, even though Philadelphia was the best team in the NFC from the beginning to the end in terms of the entire body of work, San Francisco was the hottest team in the NFC and playing the best late in the season. And of course, Jalen Hurts not being on the field was a big part of that for Philadelphia. But think about this. I mean, they were down to Brock Purdy and then Josh Johnson. That would have been akin to not the Ravens playing with Tyler Huntley. That would have been Anthony Brown starting. He gets hurt. Brett Hundley, who was on the practice squad for the Ravens late in the year, the former Green Bay Packer, who, if you recall, when we went to, the Ravens went to Lambeau 5 years ago, really beat him up. He gets hurt. And then you're talking about Mark Andrews or J.K. Dobbins, or I don't know who is maybe taking some snaps and you're doing some wild card. I mean, the point is, they were down to Brock Purdy with a bum elbow, and we'll see how severe that is. But, the
Worst case
early.
Keenum. Can I ask, right?
Well, I mean, I did see that Steve Young tweeted that he was working out in the parking lot to let them know if they needed anyone. But I mean, that stinks. I mean, that stinks for any team that's in that spot. And look, that's not to take anything away from what Philadelphia did. I mean, we always do this thing where, well, this team, they got so lucky here and they got lucky there. And, I mean, Ravens fans are talking about that with the Bengals the last few weeks, and we know what happened in the wild card game. But, that's part of it, right? Availability and trying to avoid injury. And look, there's a lot of luck involved with that. And no one's saying that staying healthy is completely a skill. Now, there can be certain things you do as an organization, recovery and sports science and things of that nature, but it's a contact game. It's a violent game. The injury rate is 100%. You go far enough down the timeline, everyone gets hurt at some point. So there is luck involved. I mean, we talked about this with the Rams last year. All the talk about Les Snead and blank those picks and the way that they did things, the way that that worked was they stayed incredibly healthy over the course of the season. This year, not so much for them. And you saw how quickly it fell apart. And that's not to bash them. It just speaks to how important it is to stay healthy. So you look at both of these games, San Francisco is the easiest one. But then on the flip side, look at Kansas City and Cincinnati, what they dealt with in that game. Kansas City, you know, we know this wasn't the same group of wide receivers that they've had in the past, but they were dropping like flies to the point where there are a couple times where Mahomes completed some passes. I'm like, who was that guy? It's Patrick Mahomes. He makes it work. He's about the one quarterback that you could say can make it work with inferior weapons. I mean, that's
he
how
can make
Brady
it work
is.
With one leg, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And on the flip side, Cincinnati offensive line held up incredibly well against Buffalo. Not so much on Sunday night, you know, where we saw, I mean, Chris Jones, who, you know, is, I don't know if he's underrated because he makes it to Pro Bowls and he's been talked about a lot, but boy, that guy's a game wrecker. And you saw what he did in the interior from a pressure standpoint. How about late in the game, they move him outside to defensive end and wreaks havoc there. I mean, it just speaks to, again, you know, we can talk about all these different things. And I've talked about this with you the last few years, analytics, the idea of what's more valuable, coverage versus pressure. They're both valuable, to be clear. But when you have that kind of a game wrecker who can pressure from the interior, and you know how beat up the Bengals were off, you know, from an offensive line standpoint, it's a major factor in that football game. And as much as, you know, there were some big plays and T. Higgins made some plays and Ja'Marr Chase made some plays, and, you know, it's not as though Joe Burrow was terrible or anything like that, but, you know, that offensive line caught up with them. You know, as well as they played against Buffalo, you know, they couldn't repeat that. And, you know, I think a big part of that was, you know, even just look at how well they ran the ball against Buffalo, and, you know, they didn't have that same factor. I mean, they averaged, what, 4.2 yards per carry, 71 rushing yards. It wasn't enough. So, you know, I mean, ultimately you look at it, and I go back to what you said at the beginning, you know, it wasn't clear. It wasn't crystal clear who the best team was in the AFC going into the tournament, but Kansas City, they earned it. And on the flip side, Philadelphia had been the best team beginning of the season to end, despite, you know, some of their late season concern with the health of Hurts. But, you know, they were the healthier team, and maybe that was the biggest difference between them and San Francisco on Sunday. But at the same time, it's part of it. You know, it's not as though we handicapped the points or anything like that based on injuries. They won the football game, and you feel bad for San Francisco, but, you know, that Eagles fans, I think I could say this with some confidence, they'd be the first to remind you that we won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles 5 years ago. So, you know, I mean, it's part of it. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's unfortunate because I thought 49ers, Eagles, you know, if Purdy's healthy, I think that could have been a very compelling football game. Although I still pick Philadelphia to win. And, you know, at least the consolation is we did get a much better football game between Cincinnati and Kansas City, albeit some officiating in that game left me scratching my head, but I do think the better team won in the end, and Kansas City made more plays when it mattered.
Luke Jones is Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. You can find him at Luke at WNST.net as well as at Baltimore Positive. We're positively around all week, living our 25th anniversary here this summer at WNST and 28 years of going to Radio Row at the Super Bowl. We'll be celebrating all of that next week as the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, the Andy Reid Kelsey Family Bowl happening out in Glendale, Arizona. We'll have some coverage here of that as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.